The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are at a crossroads. I've been telling you for days now about very, very possible effort to destroy our city and our region from within. Politicians are in on it. And what is being now the mainstream message from the protesters is a dangerous one. And I know that you know, we've drawn a clear distinction between the peaceful protesters for racial justice and George Floyd versus the violent criminal rioter looters that we've seen in cities across America. But what is now the mainstream message from the protesters is one that would be catastrophic for our city. They want to cut the number of cops we have in half. This would lead to the destruction of our city and our region. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Let me give you some stats before I get into what's going on right now in Seattle. I've told you this many, many times. Seattle and Boston are about the same size cities, about the same population, both roughly 700,000 people. But Seattle's city budget is almost double that of Boston's. Seattle has a city budget of more than $6 billion. Boston, $3.1 billion. Why is Seattle so much more? Well, the accused child rapist ex-mayor, Ed Murray, he added thousands of bureaucrats to the payroll. They were political payback after years in the state Senate. And he had told all of these people that if he ever got to a position of power where he could give them a big, fat, cushy, six-figure job, he would. And so Ed Murray literally added thousands of bureaucrats to the city payroll. Now, what do we do with all the money we spend? Well, in Boston, they got a bunch of cops on the street, 2,200 police officers in Boston. Seattle spends twice as much as Boston, and we have about 1,400 cops. So think about that. Boston's budget is 50% that of Seattle's. But Boston has 50% more cops on the streets. So that's some background. That's some numbers. That's some statistics for you. And it may spark a thought in you. Hey, I've seen about all the rioting and the looting, all the crimes, the gangs, the mayhem, the Antifa criminals in New York and Philadelphia, where they're using dynamite to blow up ATMs. By the way, one looter blew himself up with a piece of dynamite that he was trying to put at an ATM, killed himself with that a couple of days ago. But we've seen the violence in New York, in Philly, in Seattle, in Bellevue, and you might think, I haven't seen Boston much in the news. Well, they've had some. Boston's had some rioting and looting, but nowhere near on the scale of Seattle, New York. Boston had a lot of cops that they could put on the streets to help quell the violence. So now in Seattle, what is becoming the mainstream message from the peaceful protesters is defund the police. Nikita Oliver is a community agitator in Seattle in a piece that Rachel Bell did yesterday. She talked about they want money taken away from the police in Seattle.
One of the major demands of our movement right now is to defund and demilitarize the police. Seattle Police Department is unleashing flashbangs, mace, tear gas. They're running into protesters with their bikes. They have very large sticks. They're wearing riot gear. And so the only option is to begin to defund and demilitarize. We call for right now a 50% defund of the Seattle Police Department. And we demand that those dollars be invested in community-based alternatives to incarceration, community-based alternatives for public safety.
I want you to think about that. I want you to put it side by side in your mind with the images of terrorists. And I do believe that what we saw Saturday night in Seattle was the work of domestic terrorists. It is a very well-funded and it is a very well-coordinated movement across America. We have 1,400 cops. Boston has 2,200. Nikita Oliver wants 50% reduction in Seattle police. So we would go from 1,400 officers in Seattle to 700. Already, they can't respond to property crimes, which is why we have the worst property crime in the United States of America. We have heroin addicts who are breaking into cars, who are breaking into houses, and other criminals as well. And now that the well-organized, coordinated terrorists who want to destroy our city and our country from within, if they saw that what they were able to do to Seattle on Saturday and to Bellevue on Sunday, which was mass in criminal numbers, so much greater than police could respond with, if they knew that we were now reducing police by 50%, well, we're done. We're done as a city. Crime would be rampant. I had one listener who said it will turn Seattle into a hellscape if they do this. And I have no doubt that is true. It already is in so many ways. We've imported heroin addicts from all around the country to Seattle. We do have the worst property crime in the country. We have people with 30, 40, 50 felonies walking around the streets. We have a governor and a county executive who have released 2,000 criminals, most of them felons, from jail and prison in the last 6 weeks. And what the peaceful protester message is now is let us push for a step toward complete anarchy, because a city without cops is a city that is swallowed up with anarchy in days. In days that would happen. And agitator, I think her words are very dangerous. Nikita Oliver, she went on to tell Rachel.
And we need to demilitarize the police. There is absolutely no reason for police officers to be marching through the street with military-grade equipment. They are not in the military. They are not military personnel. They are not trained as military is trained.
It's not just this woman. Out on the streets, this woman here told Q13 News that she also wants the cops defunded.
You have the power to create actual actionable change. I'm calling on the Seattle City Council to ban the use of tear gas, defund the police, and break ties with SPD, and fight the power of the police union wherever possible.
Okay, defund the police. So now we're going to zero funding and break ties with the Seattle Police Department. That's what they're calling for now. Here's a woman at the rally yesterday.
Our demand is to defund the police.
Here's Cairo 7 News.
The biggest change they're calling for? Defund Seattle police by 50%. That's about $200 million.
I think it's not out of hate for the police, but it's out of wanting justice.
And that leads me to our governor, Jay Inslee, who uttered the absolute most cowardly words I have ever heard a politician utter yesterday. This is the singular issue facing our city, facing our state. There is an effort to pave the way to total anarchy underway in Seattle. And Jay Inslee was asked about that at his press conference yesterday. And I want to warn you, if you have children with sensitive ears, you may not want them to hear this, because if you don't want to expose them to absolute, pure, cowardly words, you don't want them to hear this. Jay Inslee, what do you think, as governor of the state of Washington, about the effort to defund the police in Seattle?
You ask about Seattle. You know, I've got enough challenges with the state of Washington without delving into Seattle politics, so I guess I'll defer that particular question.
Have you ever heard something so cowardly in your entire life? He's going to defer on that question. Why? And of course, there are only two possible reasons, or two possible answers. Either he says, of course we cannot defund the police. Our police, as they are outmanned, are outgunned. Our cities are getting overrun. And then the cancel culture of the left says, dump Jay Inslee. He's not with us. Or Jay Inslee could have said, yeah, I'm standing with the peaceful protesters who want to take away our cops. In which case, he would reveal himself to be even more dangerous than any of us ever dreamed possible. When did Jay Inslee ever defer on anything? I mean, again, I want you to listen to this.
You ask about Seattle. You know, I've got enough challenges with the state of Washington without delving into Seattle politics, so I guess I'll defer that particular question.
Did I fail geography when I was in the Seattle public schools? I thought Seattle was part of the state of Washington. Jay Inslee says, I have enough with the state of Washington. I'm going to defer on what's going on in Seattle. Is Seattle not part of the state? I'm serious. The most cowardly thing. But, you know, it's so consistent, because Jay Inslee, he never, ever, ever comments on anything outside of the state of Washington.
This bully, the Trump administration,
President Trump,
the president said what the president, Donald Trump, because he was the person.
Wait a second. Maybe we can even put some music to this.
I was like, why are you so obsessed with me?
This bully, the Trump administration,
President Trump,
the president said, President Donald Trump, he was the person who started this.
We got a president, Donald Trump,
Donald Trump,
Donald Trump,
Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump, current occupant of the White House.
Donald Trump,
Donald Trump,
does not belong in the White House.
Biggest threat to the security of the United States, Donald Trump.
My plan to build a wall around Washington to keep Donald Trump out didn't work.
We could certainly use a little more leadership in the White House.
This president coming out of the White House.
Donald Trump. To have a president of the United States,
Donald Trump,
if the White House
make it a daily habit of beating Donald Trump.
We have sued him as much or more than any other state.
The man in the White House,
he just doesn't care what the law is.
And frankly, they don't need to talk about Donald Trump. And frankly, they aren't. And the reason is they don't need to.
So you will comment about something outside of Washington state politics? Really?
You ask about Seattle. You know, I've got enough challenges with the state of Washington without delving into Seattle politics, so I guess I'll defer that particular question.
Have you ever heard anything so cowardly in your entire life? If he says, yes, we should defund the police, then he's exposed as an unbelievably dangerous human being and governor. If he says, no, we should not defund the police, he knows that cancel culture will come and get him. But instead of being a leader, instead of having a moral compass, instead of standing for our cops, Jay Inslee deferred on it. I'm serious. I've seen a lot of spinelessness in politics over the last 25 years. That is the most spineless comment I have ever heard from a politician. He will not comment on the effort to defund the police. Oh, but it's interesting. He had a lot to say about the police when he had his press conference yesterday.
Last night, there emerged a video of our state patrol instructing officers on how to respond to what was a tense and potentially dangerous situation. The language that he used was not in keeping with what we expect of our state patrol officers.
So he chastised a state patrol trooper for what he said at the rally on Saturday. It's hard to hear. But the state patrol trooper said, don't kill them, but push back hard. And that's become words from a state patrol trooper in the midst of a battle situation with thousands of criminal rioters who are smashing store windows. Words are what the governor cares about now. And, I mean, Jay Inslee can't say anything positive about the police. Even when he tried, it was just immediate. But.
Look, I think we all understand that officers in these situations do have really tough jobs. They have bottles being thrown at them. Chief Batiste told me that people are now shining laser beams in our officers' eyes, trying to injure their eyesight. So we know it's a really tough job. But look, you have to have high levels of standard.
But look, could you have said something nice about cops without immediately saying, but? One Seattle cop almost lost his right eye a couple nights ago because somebody threw a cinder block in his face. Well, we know they have a tough job, but just say something unqualified nice about the cops once in a while. But anyway, Jay Inslee revealed himself to be with his I will defer on defunding the police comments. He proved himself to be as cowardly a comment as I have ever heard from a politician. And that was disgraceful. That was absolutely disgraceful. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And while all of this other madness is going on, I still got to have a I told you so. Because I was the first person to tell you how dangerous Sound Transit was going to be. And what they're talking about now, how much more of your money they're coming after. It is stunning. It will bankrupt some families. Details coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. ...136 years ago, 1884, Seattle started laying trolley tracks down around the city. My best friend, when I was a kid, her family lived on 67th Northwest in Ballard. And for what is a side street, you know, what's considered a side street, not an arterial, it was very wide. And I later found out why. There was a trolley line 100 years earlier that ran down Northwest 67th Street, or 67th Northwest, I should say. But we smartened up. And in the early 1900s, the people of Seattle realized that any fixed rail line was inefficient, a poor use of money, and that had no place in planning for a region's transportation. Fast forward to 1995. Sound Transit was just rearing its ugly head. And I was, by a factor of about 1,000, the most vociferous opponent in the media. And what I said was, first of all, were you going to use a transportation mode from the 1800s? And what I also said is, they're not going to have this thing built for 40 years. Imagine things in society that are going to change. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not a futurist, but I've got an ounce of common sense. And in 1995, I said, our society's going to change dramatically. Our transportation options of the future are going to change dramatically. We're not going to need a train from 1880 to be our solution into the future. But backed by labor unions that saw it as a jobs program, politicians who got their palms greased by their donors who were pushing for this to transfer $100 billion from the taxpayers to government control. I had very early on, I had a source who was in on a meeting with then Governor Christine Gregoire, and she admitted to the group, yeah, I know it's a horrible transportation option, but it polls well. That's not leadership. That's a politician who knows, who butters her bread. And so Chris Gregoire, Ron Sims, and every politician up till today has been part of the greatest bilking of the public by a local agency in the history of the United States of America. And now everything that I've said about Sound Transit is coming true. It's coming to fruition. I said changing demographics, changing types of transportation. Who knows what else could come up in society? I wasn't thinking pandemic, but that's going to change forever, whether people want to sit in a tin can with 100 other people. I want to welcome to the show our transportation specialist at 97.3 Cairo FM, the great Chris Sullivan joins us live. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon, Dory. It's great to be here.
You were monitoring, and was this a press availability or was it a Sound Transit meeting that people were just able to view online? Yes,
this was what they called a work session. They've had several of these where they get as many people from the board on together to kind of talk about issues before they have their board meeting. So this was something that anybody could have dialed in to listen to. And I chose to kind of get an idea, you know, of considering some of the outstanding issues we've been dealing with ridership down 86% because of the pandemic and the fact that we've been talking about billions of dollars worth of losses that they are forecasting. I thought it was important to listen in, and I got an education during that. They've got some significant issues they're going to have to deal with at the board at Sound Transit.
Okay, you mentioned the funding revenue problems. How much are we talking about? How much are they off?
Well, they are expecting, because of the loss of ridership, the loss of sales tax revenue, to lose anywhere from $7 to $12 billion over the life of what would have been ST3, which would have taken us to 2041. They were projecting to make about $98 billion in revenues to help fund the expansions over that time. Now you can cut that by about 12 to 18%. Based on their current projections. And they admit, I mean, Peter Rogoff, the CEO, was quite honest yesterday. He's like, these are our best case understandings at this point, but we really don't know. Will ridership return even when the recession kicks back off and we, you know, the economy grows again? What are our sales receipts going to look like? We don't really know, but this is our best estimate based on what we have now. And it's a loss of basically anywhere from, as I said, 12 to 18% over the next 20 years.
Okay, and then their CFO, you were kind of keeping me posted as you were monitoring this last night. So their CFO talked about some of the potential remedies, which of course always means coming after us for more money. What are they talking about?
Well, they've got a couple of options. They can ask for more debt. They could refinance their debt. Obviously, those are some simple things that they could do. But the number one thing that they could do is increase taxes. The one thing that they said that they could do, and again, this was not a recommendations or agenda setting. These were things that the CFO said here. These are tools that are available as a board if you decide to go forward. One of them would be to increase the property tax. Right now, it's, what, 1.5% per thousand valuation of your home. They could raise that up to 5% per 1,000, but that would require a vote from the people, and it would require a supermajority in the RTA, King, Snohomish, and Pierce County, 60%. The other thing that they could do, they could increase the rental car taxes, things like that. They could also go back to the voters and ask for more debt authority, meaning they could go and increase their debt service and ask for more funding that way. Those, the raising of taxes on the property tax and the asking for more ability to incur debt would require votes from the public.
I want to focus on the property tax for a minute, because that's what people need to be so aware of. So they are talking about more than tripling what they are taking from us in property taxes if they went from 1.5 to 5%. And I mean, and I want people to just understand the numbers here. So if you have a home that's worth $1 million in Seattle, which is not that extraordinary and probably isn't much above the median these days, so you're already paying $150 a year in your property taxes to Sound Transit. Now let's say a couple and their teenage kid, they all have cars. You are likely paying well over $1,000 a year. If you have three cars in your family, you're paying over $1,000 a year to Sound Transit. And what they are proposing is, if they could get the authority to more than triple that property tax take from $150, so it'd be well over $500. So they would be taking, when you also factor in the sales tax and all the other taxes they get from us, the average family would probably be in for about $2,000 every single year to Sound Transit, if they were able to maximize that. I mean, that is absolutely unbelievable to me, Chris.
And if you just to set the stage, Sound Transit has the authority to ask for up to 5%. That was given to them by the legislature when they gave them the taxing authority on the property tax. So this is not just some arbitrary number Sound Transit came up with. It's spelled out in the legislative work that was done over the years on Sound Transit. They're only asking 1.5% right now, but they have the ability to ask up to 5%. But only with the report back from the voters. Again, just I wanted to make that clarification. The other things that they talked about in addition to the taxes were, I mean, the other things that a lot of families have to do when they find themselves with debt situations or losing revenues is, well, do we cut the projects that were promised under ST3? Do we delay those projects? Do we build them in chunks? Kind of like we saw in ST2 when we came out of the Great Recession, when they had a similar problem with sales tax revenue. And one thing I've come to learn about Sound Transit, and this came up yesterday even, compared to other transit agencies around the country, ours, the Sound Transit, relies very heavily on the sales tax revenue. And apparently, listening to Peter Rogoff yesterday, that's kind of unusual. I mean, more than 50% of their revenue generation comes from a sales tax, which he thinks is unusual, in his estimation, at least listening to him yesterday, from other agencies around the country.
And Chris, I only have about 20 seconds left, but this doesn't even take into account if the voter-approved $976 $30 car tab goes into effect, or does it?
No, this is basically straight off the top, looking at where we are on ridership, where we are in sales tax and fare revenues, and where they think where they're going in their best projections. No, there was no discussion of 976 during yesterday's conversation with the board members that were online.
Great stuff, Chris, as always. Really appreciate you keeping us all posted on this. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Anytime, Dory.
Our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, joining me live here on the Dory Monson Show. Yeah, I'm going to do a huge I told you so. I've been telling you for 25 years that Sound Transit is the most criminally corrupt public agency at the local level in the history of the United States of America. I defend that. I will back that. If they want to sue me, oh, I can't wait to get to discovery. But I know it's true, and I know they won't, because they know it's so. Your tax dollars at work. Much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. There is an interesting trend going on in America these days. I saw a video. Oh, I should have pulled the audio. We'll get it by before the end of the show. But a white woman in Southern California, she's walking out of her office building, and a guy comes up, and he's recording video, and he identifies her as he's a member of Black Lives Matter. And he said, "Will you get on your knees and apologize for your privilege?" And she got down on her knees, and he said, "Now apologize." She, "I'm trying to think of the words." And then she did. She apologized for her privilege. And I saw this with politicians around the country yesterday. And at some point, are people going to say, "Well, I have what's in my heart"? I mean, that's what I've said throughout this. I will display what is in my heart by the relationships I have in my life, the friends I have, the people that I've impacted and who have impacted me. And I will kneel before God. But it's around the country. There are just some really amazing moments, incidents happening. This was in New York City. There was a federal building, and somebody had spray painted Black Lives Matter as graffiti on the outside of the building. And three women, young women, they look like they're maybe in their 20s or 30s. Everybody's young to me now. I was hoping I'd make it to an age where everybody was young. But three women, and they were asked by their bosses, "Can you go remove the graffiti from our building?" They cannot tolerate graffiti on federal buildings. And so these three women, white women, were out cleaning graffiti off this federal building when another woman came up and was recording video of them doing their job.
"Why are you guys removing Black Lives Matter's graffiti?"
"We're just trying to take it."
"Yeah, we tried over there and it wasn't coming off. It's still one of those coming off."
"But why do you want that to come off?"
"Well,
this is a federal building. Yeah, it's just a vandal cleaner." "But so you don't care about Black Lives then?"
"Not at all. That's not at all what we're saying."
"That's what this..."
"We certainly do care about Black Lives."
"Not enough to leave up a message."
"No, we don't disagree with the message, ma'am. It's just on the building. We're just trying to clean it."
"Great. Not a great way to use your white privilege, ladies. Not a great..."
So graffiti is now necessary, according to some. Best 15 next.